RNZ Pacific News, Maloni, I'm Silmanu Tevam Tafain. Jeremiah Marnelli has been elected Prime Minister of Solomon Islands, polling 31 votes to 18 over rival candidate and former opposition leader Matthew Wale. The final result of the election by secret ballot was announced by the Governor-General, Sir David Vunangi, on the steps of Parliament just after midday yesterday local time. In his first national address on the steps of Parliament, Jeremiah Marnelli congratulated the people of Solomon Islands on a successful election and called for peace.
Past Prime Minister's elections have been met with the act of violence and destruction. Our economy and livelihoods have suffered because of this violence. However, today we show the world that we are better than that. We must respect and uphold the democratic process of electing our Prime Minister and set an example for our children and their children.
Cook Islands has stepped up its dengue defences following an outbreak in Fiji and Samoa. Cook Islands News reports Te Maraiora Ministry of Health is taking preventative measures to protect the country from dengue fever by fumigating incoming vessels from Pacific Island countries battling with an outbreak. Any vessels coming into any port in the Cook Islands directly from Fiji or Samoa will be fumigated by public health personnel. Dengue or breakbone fever is a viral infection that spreads from mosquitoes to people and is more common in tropical and subtropical climates. A Pacific historian says Pacifica voices must be part of the debate on whether or not New Zealand joins AUKUS, the Indo-Pacific Security Pact. New Zealand is considering joining Pillar 2 of the agreement, a non-nuclear option, but critics say this could be seen as Aotearoa rubber-stamping Australia acquiring nuclear-powered submarines. AUT Law School lecturer Marco De Jong says Pacific perspectives must be prioritised in AUKUS discussions.
I don't think Winston Peters should mistake the quietness of Pacific leaders on AUKUS as necessarily supporting New Zealand's position. Most Pacific leaders will, instead of calling out New Zealand, re-emphasise their own commitment to the Blue Pacific ideals and the regional consensus on a nuclear-free Pacific.
Meanwhile, former Australian Foreign Minister Bob Carr has confirmed to RNZ his lawyers have written to Winston Peters informing him they intend to launch legal action against him. RNZ has contacted Mr. Peters' office to confirm he has received the letter. Speaking on Morning Report, the Foreign Affairs Minister criticised Bob Carr's views on the AUKUS security partnership. Mr. Carr subsequently told RNZ he considered the comments entirely defamatory. In the House in the afternoon, Winston Peters used a parliamentary privilege to double down on his remarks. A team of Fijian traditional canoe builders is attempting to build the biggest canoe in the world. The plan is for it to measure over 100 feet in size. Nawanga Indiroa Group spokesperson Carson Young says they want to use their skills to test the unknown and ensure traditional skills are not lost.
We were lamenting a lot of the skills that we've acquired over the years wasn't really put to use. So, the idea of building something for ourselves was born at that very moment. The reason we're building something over 100 feet is to put to the test the performance of these vessels.
The double-hulled canoe, or Wanga Indrua, is expected to be ready to launch in November. A new study shows more than a third of adult New Zealanders are not getting the health care they need. The report by the Senior Doctors Union, the Association of Salaried Medical Specialists, also reveals hundreds of thousands of people are missing out on mental health care. It says all that is putting pressure on emergency departments, with a 30% jump in the number of patients turning up with life-threatening conditions. It's using official data, including patient surveys, non-surgical wait lists, and the number of people referred to a specialist by declined care. The report also finds 1,750,000 people are not getting the dental care they need. Auckland Transport says the number of violent attacks on teenagers by other young people spiked during the school holidays. In April, two 13-year-olds were set upon by large groups of teenagers at the Newland bus station. Similar attacks also took place at Henderson and Albany Transport hubs. Auckland Transport Rachel Cara says safety of passengers and staff is top priority for the service.
We think that there's been a spike in attacks recently due to the school holidays. You know, a lot of young people use our services to get around, which is amazing, and we encourage that. And most young people have a lot of pride and respect for our public spaces. It's unfortunately a really small minority of people that are causing these issues.
Rachel Carr says AT has increased security patrols and is working with police to help deter the youth attacks. Greenpeace has slammed the New Zealand government's new fast-track approvals bill in a public submission, saying New Zealanders didn't vote for mines and sewers. The group was among those who gave feedback on the legislation at Parliament's Environment Committee today. It would give the Ministers of Regional Development, Transport and Infrastructure final say on some projects. Greenpeace's Amanda Larson says the bill moves protection for the environment as well as the public's right to be involved in decision making.
New Zealanders may have voted for a change of government, but they did not vote to have the forests and oceans of Aotearoa turned into open cast mines, to have their rivers and lakes turned into sewers, or to condemn precious wildlife to extinction. And they certainly did not vote to rescind their right to have a say on industrial developments in their neighbourhood.
Amanda Larson says nearly 15,000 people gave feedback via the Greenpeace website. Scientists at Cambridge University have recreated the face of a Neanderthal woman who lived 75,000 years ago. Dr. Emma Pomery of Cambridge University, who's been working on the project, says the woman was probably in her mid-40s, which for a Neanderthal was quite old.
You can imagine that by the time the teeth are getting this worn down, her chewing is not as effective as it would have been, so she's not able to eat in quite the same way. We've got some other indications of sort of poor dental health, some infections, some gum disease as well. So I think probably by the time the skeleton and the teeth are this kind of worn, you're actually getting to the natural end of life.
The lifelike model was built from a crushed skull discovered in a cave in the Kurdistan region of Iraq, where the remains of at least 10 Neanderthals have been found since the 1950s. In sport, the Vanuatu Paralympic Committee has confirmed two athletes will represent them at the 2024 Paralympic Games in Paris. The Vanuatu Daily Post says Ali Enoch and Ken Kahu are going to France. The Paralympic Games are held 2 weeks after the Olympic Games and will run from August 28th to September 8th. The team is planning to depart Vila on August 21st. Former American football star Manase Jisisapolu says he is happy to see more Pacific Island players in the NFL. There are now around 115 players in the competition, way more than the four actively playing when Sapolu was on the field for the San Francisco 49ers in 1983.
This year by itself, there's 13 that got drafted, and there's about 10 more that will be signed that didn't get drafted. So we have about 110 to 115 now that are playing professional American football.
Sapolu won four Super Bowls championship rings. That's your latest RNZ Pacific News and Sport. For more stories, go to rnzi.com.